There have been some great days in history that have had a big impact on our world. Three of those include the day Martin Luther King was in Washington with a million people and his famous speech, "I Have a Dream," which had a huge impact on America. The day the Berlin Wall came down, people standing on the wall, and the huge impact that made in Eastern Europe. And the day Mandela was released from prison, walked out of prison, and the huge impact that had in South Africa. And with all of those days, people could say, "I was there. I heard that speech. I saw it on television." But what we're celebrating today is an even greater day, an even more amazing day, had an even more fundamental and world-changing effect. And yet nobody saw it. Nobody was there when Jesus rose from the dead. But it's had a huge impact on our world. And so I want to look at two questions. First of all, what happened? And secondly, why is it so important? Why do Christians celebrate this day and have done for 2,000 years? So the first question, what happened? As you read through Luke and the other Gospels, you see the events leading up to this day. Jesus is arrested and put on trial in Luke 22. He is crucified. He dies and is buried in Luke 23. Some women have seen where he's buried and come back on the first day of the week, Sunday, to anoint his body. The big problem is there's no body. And they're surprised and confused. What's going on? And then they have the message from the angels. He's risen. Why are you looking for the living in the place of the dead? Don't you remember what he told you? Well, what's happened? Why is there no body? And so at this time, there would have been two answers that could be given to that. One answer was that the disciples had stolen the body. And this is what the religious leaders said. And so we read in Matthew 28, verse 12 to 15. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You're to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. So that's one explanation. His disciples stole the body. The more you look into that, the more you realize how ridiculous that is. The only other explanation that's possible is that he has actually risen. He is alive. We're not given the events of him rising. We're told that there was a violent earthquake, that an angel rolled the 1.5-ton stone from the tomb. The guards securing the tomb were petrified. And the angel gave the message to the women that Jesus was alive. And so, although we're not told what happened as Jesus rose from the dead, as we read the New Testament, it becomes clear this really did happen. And if you're skeptical or you have doubts, look at the last chapters of each gospel. Look at them carefully. And the last two chapters of John and the first few verses of 1 Corinthians 15, there is plenty of evidence that what happened was the resurrection of Jesus. There's no body in the tomb. How do you explain that? Jesus appeared many times over 6 weeks to his followers. And these followers didn't accept it straight away. It took them 6 weeks before they said, yes, we realize now he's alive. There was the change, dramatic change in the disciples. When Jesus was crucified, they were fearful. They locked the doors. And after Jesus is alive, they become bold. There's a dramatic change in the day of worship. Jews used to meet on the Saturday to worship. This was a special holy day for them. Why would some of them suddenly start meeting on the Sunday? Because something dramatic had happened. The only explanation, Jesus had risen. And the growth of the church. If the resurrection did not take place, the church would collapse. And yet for 2,000 years, the church has grown around the world and today is growing very fast in many, many places. If Jesus is not alive, everything would collapse. So that's what we celebrate today. Jesus has risen. At the heart of the Christian faith is the death and resurrection of Jesus. Well, why is it so important? Well, with the resurrection of Jesus, we see the defeat of death. You could put a sign over this day, the day death died. Death has been defeated. Now, does that mean that none of us are going to be put in the grave? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that death is simply a doorway into God's presence, into the presence of Jesus. We don't have to be afraid of death. So that when we die, death is not the last word. It's the confirmation of Jesus. With his resurrection, we know that he is the Son of God. We know that he is the Lord. And so, in that first sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said this, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." The resurrection confirms who Jesus is. We can trust his words. The resurrection also confirms what he did, so that the work of the cross was not a defeat. It was a victory. When Jesus was on the cross, hanging there, his last words were, "It is finished." In other words, "I've finished everything I came to do." And the resurrection is God saying, "Yes, that's true," as he raised him from the dead. It's also a new beginning. And so anyone who puts their trust in Jesus experiences resurrection life. And Phoebe and Paul and Chris have experienced the resurrection life of Jesus. They've received a new life because they trusted in him. Christians look forward to a resurrection body. They will die, be put in the ground, but one day they will be raised with a new body. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. One day there will be a new creation, where there will be no more suffering, no death, no pain, no evil, and the resurrection of Jesus is the first fruit of that. When we look at the resurrection of Jesus, we're saying, the day is coming when everything will be sorted out. And we look forward with hope. And the resurrection of Jesus is the guarantee of that. It will happen. It's not a pipe dream, because Jesus rose from the dead. As you look at the women and Peter in Luke 24, the passage we read earlier, we see three emotions that they had. First of all, surprise. Mark tells us that as the women went to the tomb, they were talking amongst themselves and saying, "Who's going to roll the stone away? 1.5 tons. We can't roll it away. How are we going to get in to anoint the body?" And then they come to the tomb and the stone's been rolled away. And then they look inside and there's no body. Totally surprised. Peter, when he goes to the tomb and he doesn't find a body, he's surprised. You see, dead people don't come alive. If you put somebody in the tomb, they stay there. And yet here, God has done something surprising. And that's the God that Phoebe and Paul and Chris have put their faith in. The God who does surprising things. The God who amazes us again and again and again, because he's a God of grace. He doesn't look at us and say, "Well, you deserve this, so I'm going to give you something." No, he surprises us. And he says, "I want to forgive you. I want to give you new life." He surprises us. And the death and resurrection of Jesus are surprising events of God's love and his grace and his power. The second emotion is confusion. The women and Peter don't understand what's going on. What's happened? We can't explain it. We don't know what's happened here with no body. They haven't yet grasped the reality that Jesus was alive. And for some of the followers of Jesus, it took at least 6-7 weeks for them to realize Jesus is alive. And we're often confused by what's happening around us. And we say, "Is God asleep? Why isn't God doing anything? What's happening?" And in the resurrection stories, we see again and again how Jesus comes to those who are confused and sad, and he meets with them. So Cleopas and his friend are on a journey, and they're talking about what's happened, Jesus being arrested and crucified, and then a third man joins them, and they don't recognize that it's Jesus. And so they say to him, "Don't you know what's happened in Jerusalem?" And he begins to talk with them. And then later that day, they suddenly realize Jesus is alive. Or you have Mary Magdalene. Jesus had done something wonderful for her, and now he had been crucified. And she goes to the tomb to anoint his body, and there's no body. And then she sees a man, and she thinks he's the gardener. And suddenly, Jesus says to her, "Mary." And she realizes this is Jesus who's met with her. Or there's Thomas, and his friends tell him, "Jesus is alive. We've seen him." And he says, "No, I don't believe it. Unless I can see the nail prints in his hand and the spear, the hole in his side, I will not believe." And suddenly, Jesus is there. And he realizes he is alive. And he bows down, "My Lord and my God." In our confusion, again and again, God meets with us. Jesus comes. The living, risen Jesus meets us. And thirdly, fear. As the angels in their glory tell these women that he's alive, they are afraid. They've never experienced this before. And we know that the disciples met behind closed doors. They were afraid of the Jews. And what's amazing is that within 7 weeks, these fearful disciples are out in public preaching that Jesus is risen from the dead. and they're prepared to suffer imprisonment and beating and even death. And these are not rabid martyrs looking for death so they can go to paradise. These are ordinary men and women who have become convinced that Jesus is alive. Everything has changed. This is good news that needs to be shared with everyone. And they don't go looking for death, but they're not afraid to die. Now, what's your response? As we celebrate Easter today, you've heard the stories of three people who have put their trust in Jesus. You've seen acted out before you the events of Easter. The death, as people come into the water and they go under the water, death and burial, and rise again out of the water. Those are the events of the Easter weekend. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then we've thought of the resurrection of Jesus. This is good news. Do you want to receive it? Do you want to find out more about it? And I would urge you to read one of the gospel stories. There are some little booklets in the coffee area called The Easter Story. Take one of those booklets away. It's the end of Luke's gospel. Take it away and read it again and again. Maybe you want to find out a little bit more, and we're running an Alpha course. Not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. We'll talk to one of the people here. And there are other courses that are available to find out more. Is this true? If it is true, I really do need to find out. And what about those of us who have responded to this good news? Are you and I ready to share this good news? Or are we just keeping it to ourselves? This is good news for the world. Let's share it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the way that you meet with individuals and you convince them that you are alive. We thank you that you have met with Phoebe and Paul and Chris and with many here. And I pray for any who are maybe skeptical or doubting, half wondering whether it is true, I pray that in a wonderful way you would meet with them, that they would come to the place where they realize it is true. Jesus is alive. Amen.